Your Bible this morning to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, if you will, and I'll do my best to preach to you a little bit, and it is good to have Darren visiting with us. First time, Darren Thomas, make sure you do meet him. I've often said, look, it doesn't cost a dime to be friendly, and God's people ought to be the friendliest people in the world. We ought to just be friendly, and I trust that we will. You know, I usually always, when I go visit people after they visited our church, one of the things I usually say is, hey, were the people friendly? And almost invariably, it's yes, they're very friendly. And we want it to be that way. Because if we're not, and I hear somebody say, no, man, nobody spoke to me, I'm going to come back and chew you out. Okay? So we ought to be friendly. We ought to just welcome people to the house of God, and what a blessing it is to be able to be here, to be a part of it. All right, you got your Bible open there at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read a couple of verses, and we're going to skip down a little bit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then said Jesus unto them again, this down in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Would you bow your heads this morning as we ask the Lord to bless the message today? Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you this morning, and I need your help. Lord, if all these folks here today is me, then we've wasted our time, Lord, because we need to hear from you. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach the message you won't preach. Give me the words you'd have me to say. Lord, help me to keep a clear head and my thoughts. And Lord, just use me today as your servant. And Lord, speak to every heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, it has fuel for a multitude of sermons. I believe with all my heart you could never exhaust this chapter because of the truth that's contained in it. I mean, over and over, you could almost put your finger down on any verse in this chapter and just preach from that verse and not even then exhaust the truth in that verse. But what I would like to invite your attention to is to the word door, where we read it. It's found in several of the verses. It's found there in verse 1, all right? It talks about who that entereth not by the door, all right? In verse 2, he that entereth in by the door. And then we get down to verse 7, all right? But in these instances, the Lord, he is the door to the sheepfold. He is the door to the sheepfold. And he rightly pointed out that those who didn't use the door were thieves. They were robbers. They were not those that had the interest of the sheep at heart. Instead, for that crowd, it was a matter of lust and covetousness and greed that motivated them. And so when you get down to verse 7, the Lord just gets real specific when he says, I am the door. I am the door, all right? He let them know that day that he was the door. And I just want to take that phrase and look at the ramifications from that fact for just a little bit this morning, if we could. And if you've been here around most of the time, and most of my sermons have 3 points. You say, do you plan it that way? No, it just works out that way. One thing is for your benefit. Because if I get too many more than that, no telling how long we'd be here, all right? So, but 3 points, we can usually keep it. And So, but you never know how many subpoints there'll be, all right? But I want you to notice, first of all, when you're talking about a door, the door to be useful has to be accessible. The door has to be accessible. We wouldn't think, I hope, we wouldn't think of building a building without a door. It's necessary, all right? It's the means of entrance. You said, "Preacher, I'm glad I came today. I've learned something new. I've learned that the door is the means of entrance." Okay, I know that's simple. I know it's not profound. You're not struck by that truth and your mouth is hanging open. But wait a minute. Sometimes it's the simple things that we forget. Sometimes it's those simple things that we have a tendency to overlook. Look, it is a door that makes that building accessible. And where the door is very important. Ever been to a place? I've gone to churches before, and I looked and I thought, well, I'm not sure what door to use. And I go up and I figure, well, I believe that'd be the one. I go up and it's locked. You can't get in. And I go way over here and use a door that I think, man, this door's in the wrong place. You ever been to a place like that? The door just seems like it's not in the right place for where it ought to be. But we gain access by a door. Hey, a door is worthless if you can't reach the door. You can't reach the door. It's like a little child that can't reach the doorknob. You ever watched a kid try to open a door and they can't quite reach it? They'll almost jump up and try to grab it, you know? They can't quite reach that doorknob. That means that door for that child is not accessible. Well, there's where the perfection of Jesus Christ comes in. He said, "I am the door." He was and he is accessible. We can get to him. He's not somewhere so far off that we can't get there. He's not so far above us that we can't attain unto where he is. No, he came to where we are. He came that day and he stood in front of those people. And as he taught them and he said to them in his presence, "Hey, I am the door. You don't have to go looking somewhere else. And here I am." Hey, they could come up to him. They could touch him. They could put their hands upon him. You say, "Well, preacher, he's not here anymore." But you hear me. He can reach where you are today. He can reach where you are today. He's just as accessible to me and you today as he was those folks right there. Because the truth of the matter is, they had to come to him the same way we do. That is by faith. They had to trust him and accept the fact when he said, "I am the door," they had to accept that truth by faith to come to him. Some of them could have said, "Yeah, no, don't believe that." There's people today that sit in churches, and I believe say the same thing. "No, I won't come. I won't come." But it's not because Jesus Christ is not accessible. He holds himself out today to each and every one of us and says the same thing to you that he says to me. "Hey, would you come? I'm the door. I'm the door. You come." It's no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic situation. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're middle class, low class, upper class, all right? If you're no class, it's all right. He's accessible. He's accessible. You can come to him. You can come to him. All you have to do is realize he's the door, and I'm coming by faith, by faith. He's just as accessible today as he was then. He's still within reach. The second thing I want you to see about a door is the door provides access. The door provides access. It is the way to get in to something. All right? The way to get in to something. It provides access. I want you to think with me. He is definitely, as he said, the door to salvation. Look what he said right there, would you? In verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he might be saved. No, it doesn't say that. He says he shall be saved. He shall be saved. He is the door to salvation. Have you ever thought about how plain the Bible makes that? Now, we can start as simple as you like. Go with me to John chapter 4, all right? Just flip back to John chapter 4, would you? John chapter 4, verse 22, all right? John chapter 4, verse 22. The Bible says this, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Lord's saying this to a Samaritan woman. He's saying this to a Samaritan woman, and he says to her, hey, salvation is of the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew. Now, there's some super beyond belief prejudiced folks in this world that have something against Jews. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You better thank God for the Jews, because salvation is of the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the door to salvation. But he is not just a door. Not just a door. There's a lot of Jews. But you go with me to Acts chapter 4, would you? And we're in John 4. Well, the next book over is Acts. Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Here's Peter, he's speaking, and he's addressing the Sanhedrin, and this is one of the things he says to them. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying he's the only Jew that can give you salvation. He provides access to salvation, but he's the only access to salvation. You can't come any other way. You can't come through any other person. There's no other way to obtain salvation than through the door that is Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, why do you emphasize that so much? Because I live in fear that people will sit and hear me preach and think I'm okay because I'm a church member. Or I'm okay because I've been baptized. I've been through the baptistry. Or I'm okay because I'm a doer of good works. None of those things give you salvation. There's no other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that name of Jesus Christ. He is the door, the only door that provides access to salvation. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a host of other verses that we could use this morning, and I could ask you to turn to, and we could look at, we could read. But if you won't believe the ones we've looked at, you're not going to believe those either. You're just not going to believe them. He is the door to salvation. But you know what? He's not just the door to salvation. He's the door to more than that. He's the door to satisfaction. Satisfaction. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Would you look again at John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All right, you got that? Now look at verse 9. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, but notice, and shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. Pasture. Now, the Bible compares us and talks about people as being sheep. Sheep are not like human beings in this respect. You and I are good wanters. We want everything. There's advertising on television, magazines, wherever. All of that advertising is designed to make you want something else. To make you want something. And if you look at advertising enough, you'll decide, I can't live without that. Never mind that you've lived without it up until now. But I cannot live without it. Yes, you can. But that advertising makes you want. Well, sheep are not that way. You know what satisfies a sheep? Good pasture. Good pasture. Man, just to be able to sit down and to get into that pasture and to eat and to find something to feed upon, what a blessing that is. Hey, well, that's what the Bible says. The Lord, he says, you come in to me and you'll go in and out and find pasture. You'll be satisfied in life. You'll be satisfied. Look, everything God provides is good. Remember over in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, and God made this and God made that. And every time he said, and it was good. It was good. Everything the Lord makes is good. I want to tell you, everything he provides for his sheep is good too. You want to be satisfied, then learn to come in the door that's Jesus Christ. He's able to satisfy you. Everything that he provides for his own today is good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, you can be satisfied. We live in a day where people are so dissatisfied with everything. Why? Well, because our heart and our mind and our eyes are somewhere else. We've spent all that time looking at the advertisement. We've spent all that time looking at what somebody else has. We look and so-and-so's got a newer car than I do. You know, I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with that. I need a better one. I need a better one. Brother Frank back there rides a bicycle. You'll see him out during the week. A lot of times I see him during the week. Man, he's pedaling his bicycle. And I've seen him all kinds of places. He just getting after it. I guess he could look around and say, well, so-and-so has a better bicycle than I do. Just not satisfied anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something I found out about vehicles. They have a motor. They have an interior. They have a steering wheel. And hopefully it has an air conditioner. This time of year, a heater. And it works. And if it gets you where you want to go comfortably, what more do you need? Well, I want that, you know, I see vehicles every time, man, more than my house sells for. Definitely more than I paid for my house when I bought it. And you can go down and buy a vehicle, and I'm amazed at how much they cost. And I found out this, you may have a gadget. I've got a friend, and he's got a car, it's got seat warmers in it. You know, you sit down, mash a button, it'll warm the seat up for you. Jerry Lewis was an evangelist. He preached here many times. Brother Lewis has gone to heaven, but his sons one time got him in a car like that, and without him knowing it, they cranked up the heater on his side in the front seat, and he's over there sweating, you know, and they're comfortable as can be, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be my luck. Somebody'd do that. But you know what? It doesn't matter if your heat is seated. If you sit in it long enough, it'll be warm. It'll be warm. Now, you don't have to have a $100,000 automobile. I used to tell people years ago, we had a tractor and a bush hog that we mowed the school property with. And I remember sitting on that thing. It would take you pretty much all day to mow that 10 acres. Brother Minyard back there, he's done it before, and I've done it. I tell you, you get off of that tractor for about 5 or 6 hours riding that tractor, you get in your car, and you've suddenly got the smoothest riding vehicle in the world, man. And you can be content with it. But our problem is we're not satisfied with what God gives us. But boy, if we'd look at it and realize everything he gives you, it'll satisfy you. He is the door to satisfaction. He is the door to that. You come through that door. The world today is looking for that which satisfies. They look in the bar. They look in the bottle. They look in needles. They look in music. They look in fornication. They look in money. And they're not satisfied. Why? They're looking in the wrong place. They're looking the wrong place. Hey, they refuse the door that could provide the satisfaction they want. Hey, you have Christians in. They come through the door. But they listen and look, and they're like the little kid at the fence or the cow sticking his head through the fence to get the blade of grass in the ditch when they've got wonderful grass behind them. A lot of Christian people are like that. we start looking at what the world has and we think, boy, I need that, and you get dissatisfied. Yet the world's out there and they're dissatisfied. Hey, listen, that which is satisfying comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. That which gives contentment comes from that good pasture. You'll come through that door. It provides salvation. It's the door to salvation. It's the door to satisfaction. But you hear me, it's also the door to security. Security. Just being secure. Your door at your house or your apartment, what's it there for? Is it ornamental? He said, man, we bought that door because it looked so good. Hey, I'll be honest, I want a stout door. I want a stout door. He said, why? Because if somebody wants to kick it in, I don't want it to be able to kick in on the first kick. I want the first kick to make me think somebody is trying to get in. That way, by the time they kick it enough to get in, I'm ready. I've got my gun in my hand. I tell people I lock my door not because I'm afraid of getting killed, but because I don't want to kill somebody else. All right? I mean, hey, if you just come into my house and I don't know who you are or what you are, I'm figuring you're there for no good. So, hey, that door provides security, all right? It's not just ornamental. That being the case, you think about it. If we come through Jesus Christ and he's the door, what better security can you have? Hey, who's going to overpower him? Who's going to overpower him? He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Nobody's coming there. Who's going to come, you know, and maybe get around him? You can't deceive him. You can't fool him. Why? Because he's omniscient. He is the door, all right? My friend, he is the door to security. And you think about it. When you got security, there's peace. There's contentment. There's contentment. Why? I know I'm safe. I'm safe. Brother Dan Allen was one of the fellows that was always at Silver State Youth Camp. He was in his 80s when we first started going to Silver State. Man, what a gentleman he was. And he was always the one that would say, let's sing this chorus. And that chorus said, under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe while the ages roll. Safe though the worlds may crumble, safe though the stars grow dim, under the blood of Jesus, I am secure in him. Hey, that's where our security comes from. That's where our security comes from. It's not from our wisdom. It's not from our strength or our ability. It's found in him. Jesus Christ is the door, and that door gives access to salvation. That door gives access to satisfaction. That door gives access to security. But I want to say one other thing about a door. A door can also deny access. That door can be put there to deny access. I understand from what I've read in different places that the sheepfold in the Bible had a door. It had a door. That door let the sheep in, but it was there to keep the thief out. The same door had two purposes, all right? Sometimes out in the wild, if you will, they would build a barrier and put the sheep inside that barrier at night, and the shepherd himself would lie down across the opening, and the shepherd became the door to the fold. And he would lie there because that no one could enter without crossing over him. It was his job to keep out anything or anyone that was unwanted. That door was to prevent access. You hear me, the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. He is accessible. And he provides access to a lot of things for the believer. But don't forget this. He can and he will deny access to some. You say, "Preacher, I just can't believe that." Well, then you don't believe the Bible. I want you to take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. You see, that door that provides access can also be a door that denies access. Now, I'm told that in the world, there are some clubs where a child of God has no business being anyway. But I'm told that some of those clubs, they have an individual standing at the door, and that individual decides who can and who can't get in. And that door is a means of access for some, but sometimes they're there and say, "No, you can't come in." And they're very arbitrary on what they do. It's the way I understand it. It's what I've heard. I don't know. But the Bible is real plain. Notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Hey, they may be standing at the door, but that door is going to deny access. Deny access. Hey, you can't come in. He's going to say, "You cannot come in." The problem is they tried to come in some other way besides coming through and to the one who was the door. Who was the door? Hey, the world's folks in this whole world the same way, all right? People today have the idea that everybody goes to heaven. Everybody. I mean, the only people that don't go to heaven are people like Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer. Some mass murderer. But hey, anybody else, come on, they're going to heaven. I mean, how many times do you hear people say that? I hear people say that, "Well, so-and-so's in a better place. Well, so-and-so was as ungodly an individual as I've ever known. There was never any evidence or any testimony that they'd ever put any faith at all in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation." Listen, everybody doesn't go to heaven just because they're your loved ones and you love them and they're good people. Doesn't mean they go to heaven. Doesn't mean that. Oh, you remember that story of the Pharisee and the publican at the temple to pray? The Pharisee ticked off all the things he wasn't. In a lot of ways, he was a good man. He was a good man. But the publican, the Bible said he wouldn't even look up. And his prayer was not, "Lord, I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so." But his prayer was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And our Bible and our God tells us that man went home justified. Justified. I've heard preachers preach from that passage of Scripture and entitle their sermon, "A Good Man Lost and a Bad Man Saved." That's true. Hey, listen, you hear me. It's not your goodness. It's not my goodness. It's not who I'm kin to. It's not because a host of people might think well of you. The question is, have you ever come before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess the fact that you're a sinner and called upon him and asked him to save your soul? So I said, people today think, "No, everybody goes to heaven." Well, nothing could be further than from the truth. There's coming a day when every individual that ever lived on this earth will stand before God. Every individual. The question's not going to be, "What church do you belong to?" Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm happy and unashamed to be a Baptist. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist. I've heard guys say independent, fundamental, premillennial, missionary, you know, contrary and everything. And I qualify all of those. And I'm not ashamed to be that. But being a member of the Baptist church is not going to get you to heaven, folks. It's not what works you did. It's not how kind you were to your neighbors. It's not how many times you were baptized. And it's not whose pool you were dunked in. Got nothing to do with it. It's going to be none of those things when we stand before God. The question is going to be, did you come through the door that was provided for you by God? Did you take Jesus Christ by faith and come through that door? Let me say this to you. There came a day in Noah's day when the Bible said God shut the door on the ark. God shut the door. Noah didn't. God shut it. When that door shut, nobody else is getting in. Nobody else is getting in. You better be sure, you better take care that God doesn't shut the door on you while you're presuming upon His mercy and His grace, doing your own thing, thinking, I got plenty of time. You don't. You don't. That door could be shut any day. Hey, my friend, Jesus Christ was the door. And He is the door. There's no other way. There's no other one that will give you access to salvation. Hey, I believe with all my heart there's no really other good way for satisfaction in this life. No other way to security. The question is, will you come to Him, step through that door? Will you do that? You're saying, preacher, I'm in good shape. I know it. I've stepped through that door. I trusted Him as my Savior. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Let me ask you, how satisfied are you? How satisfied are you with what God's given you? Are you constantly belly aching and complaining? Are you constantly grumbling and griping? Well, I wish I had that. I wish I had this. Wish I had that other thing. Hey, listen, we're so many of God's people. Look, it's okay for a kid at Christmas to have a list that long. But it's kind of pitiful when God's people been saved and you're not content with what God's given you. You're dissatisfied. That means there's something wrong with your spiritual condition. There's something wrong with you spiritually. Now, what is it? What needs to be taken care of? What do you need to change? Hey, you need to come maybe and do business with God here at the altar. Just step out in a moment. We're going to have the invitation hymn. Do you need to step out and come to Him and call upon Him and ask Him for forgiveness? Maybe you've spent your life as a child of God looking around thinking the lost crowd's better off than you are. They're not. They're not. They don't have peace. They don't have satisfaction. They don't have security. And they dead sure don't have salvation. But you're spending your life looking to them saying, I wish I had what they had, not me. Man, we ought to spend our life looking and say, thank God I'm not facing what they are. How about you? How about you? Would you bow your heads this morning? Close your eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed. As we get ready for the invitation time tonight, this morning, listen, is God dealing with you? Is God dealing with your life? Hey, maybe you're here this morning and truthfully, you're not saved. You've never really been born again. Would you come to Him? You said, preacher, everybody thinks I'm a Christian. Doesn't matter what everybody thinks. Doesn't matter what they think. What you know and God knows. You need to come. Would you do it? Would you step out, meet me here at the front? Say, preacher, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to trust Him. Hey, there's a need. Would you come to Him today? Our Heavenly Father, I pray now You'd just deal with hearts this morning. Your will might be done in the life of each one that's here. And Lord, help them. Help each one to face themselves and face their own situation. And Lord, do as You'd have them to do today. Use the invitation, dear God, for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.